Thank you, Chris. All right. Let's keep preparing our hearts for this person who will come. Let's just stop and let's pray for the committee. And boy, it has been quite a journey, I know. But these people have given their time week after week after week. Let's pray for them. Let's have our hearts just lifted up to the Lord. Lord, we want to pray for this committee. I know they get a lot of prayer, but wow, what they're doing needs prayer. So we lift them up and we ask, Lord God, you would lead, guide, direct, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord God. That's what we ask, so that the person that you desire comes. So we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. How you guys doing today? Are you all right? A few of you. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. This morning was one of those mornings where I kind of thought things were going to be a certain way, and they weren't. And they continued not to be, and it really wasn't anybody's fault. Just worship practice and everything. I don't know. It always seems like the worship team will play, and then gremlins that come in and change all the buttons or something. Not really. I don't really believe in gremlins. It's just a joke. Okay. All right. Well, a few weeks ago, I was at home preparing to speak for a Wednesday night service, and I kind of had a hankering, you know, for something sweet, and my wife is really good at whipping up something quick, you know, if I feel that way. So I did, and so she said, I got just the thing. So she made a s'more, but, you know, she didn't go out and build a fire and any of that. She just does, you know, what is it, graham crackers and marshmallows and chocolate, of course. And so she did that. She throws it in the microwave. So I get it, and it's all messy as they are, you know. So I eat it. It was really good, but, I, you know, my hands are all messy and everything, so I go and wash my hands. So, you know, we kind of rush out the door, and we get to church. The worship team, we practice, and then I was sharing a word that night. And so I'm down here, and I'm sharing, and my wife is just smiling at me. Now, I'm just thinking, that's so nice. She's really being encouraging. I love that. Yeah. And so, you know, I speak. I get all done. And she walks right up to me with a big grin on her face. And I go, well, how'd I do? She goes, oh, you did good. You got chocolate on your face. I go, I do? And she goes, yeah, like that. And I go like this. The entire side of my face is covered in milk chocolate. And the first thing I think, I just practiced with these worship team people, and nobody said a word. So I go and ask them, and I say, hey, I had chocolate on my face. And they go, well, we saw you had something on your face, but we didn't want to say anything. Now, would you consider that kindness? Yeah. That's not kind. Yes, that's not kind. So, yeah, Steve told me later he had the camera and he saw something on my face and he gets closer and closer. He says, something's on his face. Anyway, hopefully today, I have not eaten any chocolate today, so I think I'm safe. Okay. Okay, we're going to look at another area of kindness today, and it's going to be kindness and truth. Kindness and truth. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, if you want to look there, verses 17 through 31. And this is a great story. Mark 10, 17 through 31. Some of it will be on the screen, not all of it. Okay. So here we go. Let's ask the Lord. Really felt like I needed to just stop for me personally. So, Lord, just want to ask that you would speak through your word today. And, Lord, that what we get today from your word is by the Spirit. And so we want to open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit today, and who makes the word come alive. So that's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So here we go, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." Okay, I'm going to stop there for a moment. Before I go any further, this can be a little bit confusing. The statement that Jesus makes, it sounds like he's denying his own standing of goodness, but he's not, okay? But he isn't telling the man that he, Jesus, isn't good. He's telling him that only God can answer his question about eternal life. That's basically what he's saying. And then later on, you might think, well, isn't Jesus part of the Trinity? Isn't Jesus God? Yes, he is. And later, we're going to find that he asserts his authority as he continues speaking to the man. Okay. So verse 19, "But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Now, I'm just going to say really quick right here. When he says obeyed all these commandments since I was young, he may have been sincere in saying that, but nobody, and we're going to find this out, nobody obeys everything perfectly, okay? So he doesn't quite understand that yet. So verse 21, "Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Okay, so Jesus knew exactly where this guy was at. He knew his heart. He knew what he needed to hear. Jesus always had a way of getting right to where people were at real quick. He doesn't dance around. He just gets right to where the person's heart is. And this guy obviously relied and valued his riches. And obviously to follow Christ, we must not trust in anything, especially riches, things like that. God doesn't want us to, for any of those things to become an idol to us, okay? So let's pick it up at verse 22, and it says, "At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions." So Jesus matter-of-factly tells this guy what's expected. Keep the commandments. Sell your possessions. Come follow me. There's no patting him on the back. There's no, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay. You look sad. You know, just stick around and let's talk some more." There's none of that, you know. But you've really tried. You've humbled yourself. Remember the guy knelt before him in front of people? So that was good. That was good. But he doesn't call him back. Jesus just lets him go. It's kind of odd, seemingly. He just lets him go. Okay. So verse 23 says, "Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God.' And this amazed them. But Jesus said again, 'Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were astounded. 'Then who in the world can be saved?' they asked, and Jesus looked at them intently and said, 'Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God.'" So to the disciples, this was a radical, seemingly impossible idea, this demand of the kingdom of God. They were astonished because contemporary Jewish belief had taught them that riches was a sign of God's blessing. So think about that. And you know, I think that we can think that, and that's not necessarily untrue. I think that for certain people, God gives them riches. But in their day, they looked at that as the favor of God, and you are living as you should because you have these riches. So maybe they looked at this likable rich guy walking away and wondered, if this guy can't make it, who can make it? Because he checks all the boxes, okay? He was humble. He's wealthy. You know, he listened to Jesus. He came to Jesus. He checked all the boxes. Jesus basically says, sell it all, then come follow me. All right. And as I imagine this scene, I think I see a slight smile on Jesus' face at this point. He looks at them and he says, for mortals, it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Now, really, from those guys' point of view, what is that supposed to mean? Okay? So notice that so far in this conversation, it's been all about the question, what must I do? That was the guy's question. What must I do? Okay? And Jesus told him. And what Jesus told him turned out to seem impossible, because it is impossible. It's impossible to live God's law perfectly. So when the man asked, what must I do? Jesus answered him with the truth. If you're asking what you must do, live perfect. Live a perfect life. That's what you must do. Okay? If it's up to you. Because the law, the Ten Commandments, are good and holy. But if you're going to try and base salvation on what you do, then you're going to fail. Now, God wants us to live that way. He wants us to live holy lives. But we can't do it perfectly, and we need to follow Christ. But the guy didn't understand that. He wasn't at a place to understand that yet. So it may be harder for the rich to enter the kingdom than shoving a camel through the eye of a needle, but it's not impossible with God. And I would say that that camel and needle illustration goes for all of us. That's how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God without the blood of Christ. It can't be done. It cannot be done. And this is where law and grace come together. The very God who demands perfection, read the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, he says, you must be perfect. This is the same God whose love waits patiently while we struggle to get the point. He desires for us to live holy lives. He doesn't back down on that at all. But he also knows that only God is perfect. We are not. And that's why we need the blood. That's our only way, is through the blood. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's only through the blood. So what's impossible with man is possible for God. And through the cross is how he made it possible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And it's through the cross. Okay? And he wants us to rely on him, on Christ rather than on riches or anything else. He told the man a difficult but powerful truth. So if we were dealing with this rich young guy, after we told him the truth, when he turned and walked away and he looked sad, I know how I'd be. I'd be like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's talk a little more. You know, you seem sincere. You know, let's just talk a little and see if we can understand each other. But Jesus let him go, told him the truth, and let him walk. He knew when to let him go and think about what he had said. And that's what he did. He knew the guy would go and think about it. And I would hope that at some point, this guy, after Jesus went to the cross, turned his life around. Jesus knew where his heart was. So heaven was not to be attained by your good works or how much money you've acquired. God alone has provided the way. And he said this without sacrificing God's expectation for holy living. So Jesus told the truth. He always told the truth. Sometimes, as in this case, he was very factual, didn't use decorum or niceties. He was just very straight up with this guy. Other times, as when he told Peter that he would deny him three times, he's much more kind in how he does it, more caring. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, it says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." See, that's more kind. He takes time with Peter. But there are times when, just like Jesus said to the young rich man, that God asks us to be kind and telling people the truth. And sometimes this can even involve family. And that can be hard for us to share truth with family sometimes. Now, I love my son. He's a great guy. We've always had a really good relationship, Dustin. And I do just about anything for my son. Leave anything where I am if he needs me, if he's in trouble. And I'm sure many of you feel that way about your kids. And I remember when my son was in school at Portland Bible College, and Teresa and I didn't have much money to pay for his schooling, and so he had to work a part-time job while going to school. We did provide an inexpensive car for him to drive. Okay. Now, Dustin was a good kid, like I've said, and hard worker, but as a lot of kids his age, he could be a little reckless. And this applied to his driving. And yes, and I found out some things as years have gone on about how things happened to the car, and I heard one thing and then later heard it was completely something else. So, I listened to him, and, you know, it's one of those times when your kid calls you and they're upset, and, what's going on? Are you okay? Okay, so you got a ticket, and he's very upset. He says, "Dad, I got a ticket for reckless driving." He goes, "This is my third ticket." And I calmed him down. I go, "Listen, Dustin, stuff happens in life. Sometimes it's our fault." And I said, "It's going to be okay. Nobody else got hurt. You didn't get hurt. We need to learn from this, and we'll talk more later." Okay, calmed him down. So, after this happened, Dustin was on our insurance, and we got dropped. We were not very happy. And so, I told him, "You know, everything's going to be okay, but here's the repercussions. We decided to take his car away." So this was kind of a big deal because we weren't up there to drive him around. He was in Portland. He couldn't get around. And so we took his car away for a long time. I don't even remember how long. But, sometimes you got to tell the truth. And there are repercussions for your actions. And they're driving a car that we pay for and pay for your insurance if you can't learn to drive safely. Okay? And that was hard. That was hard for me to do that. I didn't want to take his car away. But I had to do it. We had to do it. So fast forward. Several weeks ago. You know, my son's doing great these days. He's got a great family, loves Jesus, serves in the church. We're so proud of him, does so good. And so I went for a drive with him a month or so ago. And, got in the car. He was driving. And I wasn't in the car 10 seconds when I was white-knuckling it going around the corner. And I was like, "Dustin, slow down." So he slows down. "What, Dad? What's wrong?" I'm like, "Dustin, you're going so fast." He goes, okay. So I don't know how much he learned from our little lesson there, but he drives better than he used to. So there it is. So kindness looks a lot of different ways, and one way is sharing the truth with an individual, even if it's with your family. Now, James 5:20 says, "Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." There's a lot in this verse, but It says that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering, I like that, will save his soul from death. It's basically saying that you, if you change someone's life around by sharing the truth in kindness, then you can save them from a whole lot. Now, I want to be very careful with this because most of the time, hard truth, and think about this, most of the time, hard truth, you kind of need to keep to yourself. I mean, you know, you might notice something about somebody, you know, maybe flaws, you know, errors in the way that they interact with other people, or maybe some of their personal decisions in life. There's a time and a place. So you don't want to be a loose cannon and just, shoot that off at anybody anytime you please. No. You know, we have to trust in God. We have to trust in the Holy Spirit. There's a time and a place. There's wisdom in all of this, okay? Another thing is we got to look at our own lives before we start, being too hard on other people. And that's always a good thing. Because if you check out where you're at, you're always working on something. I know I am. And it makes you think twice before you go jumping in to somebody else's life. And I'm reminded of this scripture, which many of you know, in Matthew 7. Why do you seek the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you're going to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus goes so far as to say that you're a hypocrite if you start pointing things out in other people, and yet, bammo, you got something right in your life that you need to be taking care of. So we got to make sure our own heart is right before challenging our brothers or sisters. And I found in life that there's a type of person that is fairly rare. And maybe this is you. Maybe this is you. You're out there, I know. But this is what we are to aspire to. And somebody told me this the other day. And as soon as they said it, I wrote it down because I thought, wow, that's really good. It says, someone who can expose your need in love. Expose your need in love. Is someone who loves you. You know, and that can be very hard, but it can also be very kind. When your need is exposed, but it's done in love. And when I say rare, I just mean sometimes we don't stop long enough to listen to the Spirit to share things at the right time when God is working in somebody's life. You don't know what God's been speaking to them. But it always amazes me that when those kinds of things are done in love, how other things that God is working on in their life kind of mesh with what you say. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay. Here are a few thoughts from our scriptures today. Just three things. First thing is that Jesus will tell us the truth because he loves us. Jesus wants the very best for you. Now, if you don't want to know the truth in your life, don't read the Bible, because the Bible will expose the truth. It will. And the Holy Spirit will bring the Bible to life, and it will bring it to your mind and into your heart. That's what will happen. And I've lived 62 years now. I've seen a lot of things. And one thing I have seen is that everything changes. Everything changes except for one thing. And that's the Word of God. It doesn't change. The truths never change. They're always applicable to what changes in our culture. And throughout history, there's been all kinds of change. Going this way, that way. Different trends. There are all kinds of trends today, which there always have been. They seem almost more extreme today, but they probably thought that back in the 60s too. But The Word of God doesn't change, but everything else will. So when you are seeing all these trends in our culture and all these expectations that culture is trying to lay on you, remember this, that's going to change. And that our truth, our foundation is going to be on the Word of God always, always. So I know as far as I have anything to do with this church and I have anything to do with standing up here in front of you, that's going to be the truth, is that we lay our foundation on the Word of God. Now you might say, well, yeah, everybody's always said that. Yeah, I've always heard that in church. Well, I'll tell you something. There's all kinds of people getting their head turned today. And they're starting to twist these scriptures, see, to say something they don't. All right, I'll leave that there. All right. Number two is sometimes Jesus shares truth very matter of fact and sometimes with care. So this is our model as well. It is. There's times when we plainly share the truth for someone's good. There are times, not always, but there's times when you just got to tell somebody, look, man, you're heading for a cliff. You're heading for a cliff, and I can see it. And if you can see it and you don't tell that person, that's not very kind. Now, there's wisdom in doing this, but boy, if you sincerely see a person, you know, whether it's any kind of situation that they're in, that it's like, wow, if they keep going on this trend, I love them, and they're going to head off a cliff, and it ain't going to be a good landing. Well, sharing truth there is kindness. All right. Now, if I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. Please allow me to share some truth with you today. And this is going to be from the Word. It says this in 1 John 5:11-12. It says, this is the testimony. And this is basically the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God is what the writer has been telling us to this point. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his what? Does anybody know? Son. It's in his Son. And that's Jesus. It says, whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have the life. This is in 1 John. If you have the Son, then you have eternal life. But if you don't, and you're just thinking about Jesus, maybe you're not thinking about him at all. Maybe somebody dragged you here today. The Bible says if you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. So when you think, well, what do I have to do to be saved? The only thing you got to do is accept it. Because Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And by dying on that cross, his blood washed away our sins. Now, this goes very deep, and I don't have the time to go way back in the Old Testament. But that's what it did, so that we wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And it's an incredible truth. He who has the Son has the life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. My friend DJ had the Son. He's got life. That's a good thing. So I want to say to you today, if you feel like, I don't have the Son, and when I say that, I mean, do you know Jesus? Have you met him? And when I say met him, he's not probably not going to stand before you bodily, but he will reveal himself to you. God is spirit. God is spirit, and he'll speak. He'll speak to you. He spoke to me. He spoke to me. And I know he'll speak to you. And if you talk to other people in here today, everybody's got a story. If you're here today and you know Jesus, you've got a story of how you came to know him. So what I want to do, if you're watching online and what I'm saying is ringing true for you, I'm going to ask you that same question. Do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Because if you do, that's all it takes. The Bible says that he'll prepare a room for you in heaven. That's pretty cool. That's really cool. And if he's preparing a room, that kind of says to me, well, he created us, so he knows how we think. He knows what we like and things like that. And he knows that. And so he's preparing it for us because he's that great. He's that great. So for this room, I'm going to have everybody bow their heads for a minute. And I am going to ask the question, if you're sitting there and you're like, when you're asked the question, do you have the Son? If you feel like, I don't know that I do, I'm not going to call you out, but I would, when I count to three, like to see your hand, okay? So one, two, three. Raise your hand, okay? See you over there. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Anybody else? You don't have the Son. You don't have the Son. I see you there in the middle. Uh-huh. I'll wait just a little bit more. I've got a couple people this morning. Awesome. Okay. I don't want to do this in some ritualistic manner. I'm just straight up with God. Always have been. I don't use certain prayers, things like that. I know that helps people, some people. I'm just straight up. So I'm going to pray a prayer that I hope you agree with, those few that raise their hand. And those who didn't raise your hand, but you're thinking it, you're like, I don't think I know Jesus, although other people think I do. You know what? That's okay if you're honest with God. If you're honest with God, you want the Son. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you guys all to repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I need the Son. I want to know Jesus personally. God, reveal yourself to me. I've made a mess of things, and I need you in my life. Come into my life, Jesus. Reveal yourself to me. Amen. 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 Really felt like I was supposed to share that verse today. That came this morning. And out of everything I said this morning, that was the one thing I knew that I had to say. So if there's anybody else that needs the Son, you can come talk to me. You can talk to somebody at the New to Faith Center. You can talk, you know, most of the people in here know Jesus personally and have made that decision in their life. And so you can talk to anybody probably in here and they'll be able to talk to you about Jesus. So I love it. I love it. I want to encourage you guys to stay with the truth. Share truth and kindness. Kindness always, it's not always tolerance. Can be. And it's not always a pat on the back. Jesus didn't pat this guy on the back. Okay? But it can be. But commit yourself to the truth and say, I'm going to share the truth. Okay? All right, let's all stand up.